Hey, everybody, are you to jump into Ecclesiastes with us? We're going to be looking at some really interesting ideas from Dr. Alpher's lectures,
Yeah.
specifically session 7,
Oh, yeah.
where he talks about this concept of fear of God.
It is interesting. You know, when you hear fear of God, a lot of times people picture like somebody cowering.
Yeah.
But in Ecclesiastes, it's a much richer and really more nuanced meaning.
It is. And that's exactly what we're going to try to uncover in this deep dive.
Yeah.
We'll discover how fear of God is kind of woven throughout Ecclesiastes and why it's so important for understanding the whole message.
Yeah. And it's fascinating how this theme just kind of pops up in the text in all these different ways.
Yeah.
You know, some people think that that fear God message at the end of Ecclesiastes
right.
feels like an afterthought.
Yeah. Just like they added it later.
Right. Right. Like a footnote out or something.
Yeah. So what does Dr. Furr say about that? Does that change how we should interpret it?
He points out that it's not just a concluding statement. It's like a core component that's woven throughout the whole narrative.
Okay.
And he points to passages like Ecclesiastes 3.14, 5.17, 11.9, and 12.1.
Okay, so it's not a shift in tone, but it's something that's been there all along.
Exactly. And, you know, and another thing that's kind of puzzling is the apparent contradiction between Proverbs and Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
Proverbs says fearing God is the beginning of wisdom. But Ecclesiastes suggests that it's the end.
Yeah, that does seem contradictory.
Yeah.
So how can fearing God be both the start and the finish line of wisdom?
Well, you know, I think it's all about perspective.
Okay.
Proverbs is really focusing on those practical steps of living wisely day to day. You know, it's like a guidebook for making wise decisions. But Ecclesiastes takes a step back and reflects on the ultimate purpose and foundation of wisdom.
Right.
It asks the big why question.
Okay.
Why bother seeking wisdom in a world that often seems meaningless?
So Proverbs is like the how-to, and Ecclesiastes is like the why.
Exactly.
But they both agree that a right relationship with God is essential.
Absolutely. They're like two sides of the same coin.
Okay.
And I think a key part of that why behind wisdom, according to Dr. Furr, has to do with judgment.
Okay.
He emphasizes that in Ecclesiastes, the fear of God is closely connected to this idea of future judgment.
Oh, okay. So now we're getting into judgment day stuff.
Right.
So what does judgment really mean in this context?
That's a great question. And it's important to understand how the ancient Israelites viewed judgment.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't necessarily have these same concepts of heaven and hell that we see develop later on.
Okay.
You know, their understanding was more focused on Sheol, which is a shadowy realm of the dead.
Yeah.
But the point is, Qohelet, you know, the author of Ecclesiastes, was deeply concerned with the idea that our actions have consequences even beyond this life.
So it's less about like a place that you're going to go.
Right.
And more about just this idea that we will be held accountable.
You got it. And this awareness of accountability should shape how we live.
Right.
You know, Dr. Furr points to passages like Ecclesiastes 3.17 and 12.1-14, where Qohelet talks about God judging every deed.
Hmm.
And it's not about cowering before some wrathful deity.
Yeah.
It's about living with this awareness that our choices matter.
Okay, but isn't there a danger in emphasizing judgment too much?
Mm-hmm.
Could that lead to just living a life driven by fear rather than love?
That's a really good point. And I think it's important to remember that fear of God in Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
It isn't about being paralyzed by terror.
Okay.
It's more about respect, reverence.
Okay.
And recognizing that, you know, we're not the ultimate authority in our own lives.
So like humility.
Yes.
Okay.
And this awareness, according to Dr. Furr, should motivate us to make wise choices,
yeah.
to live righteously, you know, rather than just recklessly throwing caution to the wind.
Yeah. It's like live each day as if it were your last.
Right.
But plan as if you'll live forever.
Exactly. It's about finding that balance between embracing life's fullness and recognizing that our actions have lasting implications.
Yeah.
Now, here's where things get really interesting.
Okay, I'm ready.
Ecclesiastes also encourages us to enjoy life's pleasures.
Okay.
While also emphasizing this fear of God.
Okay.
So how do we reconcile these seemingly contradictory ideas?
Right.
How can we enjoy life to the fullest while simultaneously living with an awareness of judgment and accountability?
Yeah, that is a fascinating paradox. On the one hand, you know, enjoy life.
Right.
On the other hand, remember that you're accountable.
Right.
So how do those two coexist?
Well, Dr. Furr explains that you don't want to think of these as opposites.
Okay.
You want to think of them working in harmony.
Okay.
You know, a right relationship with God includes being grateful for his gifts and enjoying them responsibly.
So you're not denying yourself pleasure, but you're experiencing it in a way that honors the giver of the pleasure.
Exactly. And a great example of that is Ecclesiastes 11.9. You know, you have this beautiful refrain of rejoice in your youth.
Yeah.
But then it's immediately followed by remember your creator and the coming judgment.
Oh, wow. So it's like right there together.
Yeah. They're presented side by side.
So Ecclesiastes is saying, go ahead, enjoy life, but do it with, you know, the awareness of who you are and who you're accountable to.
Yeah. I mean, it's about living with intention and purpose.
Yeah.
Not just flitting from one fleeting pleasure to the next.
Right. And that makes me think back to, you know, our discussions about time in Ecclesiastes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where it's like that poem about, you know, there's a time for everything under the sun.
Right, right.
At first, I thought it sounded very Hakuna Matata.
All right.
But then you were like, no, there's a deeper layer to it.
Exactly.
It's not just about accepting whatever happens, but it's about making choices within those seasons.
Yeah, making wise choices within those seasons.
Yeah.
And fearing God just adds another dimension to that whole concept. It's like, yes, there's a time for everything, but make your choices in those seasons with an awareness that you are accountable to God.
Okay.
Every decision, every action carries weight and meaning.
So it's not just about timing. It's about intentionality within that timing.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
It's about living with purpose, you know, yeah, knowing that even seemingly small actions can have ripple effects.
Okay.
And, you know, this brings us back to that theme of judgment that we were talking about earlier.
Right.
Dr. Furr emphasizes how Kohelet grapples with the apparent injustices of life.
Yeah.
You know, the things that just don't seem to make sense in the here and now.
Like bad things happening to good people.
Exactly.
Or good things happening to bad people.
Exactly. These age-old questions that have plagued humanity for centuries.
Yeah.
And while Kohelet doesn't offer easy answers, he does point to future judgment as a key part of the equation.
So fear of God could actually be a source of comfort then.
Yeah.
Because it's like saying, okay, well, maybe things are messed up now.
Right.
But ultimately, justice will be served.
It's like trusting that ultimately the scales of justice will be balanced.
Yeah.
Even if we don't witness it ourselves.
That's a powerful image.
Yeah.
That makes me think of that other idea that Dr. Furr talks about, remembering our creator.
Yeah.
How does that fit into this fear of God thing?
That's a great question. And I think it ties back to what we were discussing earlier about Ecclesiastes being so relevant today.
Yeah.
Especially for younger generations.
Right, because youth is all about living in the moment.
You said it.
Yeah.
But Kohelet urges us to remember our creator.
Okay.
Even in the midst of those youthful experiences.
Yeah.
It's like saying, embrace life, enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
But do it with a sense of reverence.
Okay.
Acknowledging that there's something greater than yourself at play.
So it's not about rejecting those joys of life, but infusing them with a deeper sense of meaning and purpose.
Exactly. And there's an urgency in Kohelet's words. Like, don't wait until you're old and gray to start thinking about these things.
Uh-oh.
Remember your creator now in the prime of your life.
So it's a call to action.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Kohelet emphasizes the importance of making the most of each day. You know, recognizing that we don't know what tomorrow holds.
So live each day as if it were a gift.
Yes.
Yeah.
A chance to make a difference, to connect with something larger than ourselves.
Okay, so now the practical question is, how do we remember our creator in our daily lives?
That's the question, isn't
yeah.
it? How does this concept translate into concrete actions and choices?
Yeah, it's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of life.
You're absolutely right.
And just forget to, you know, pause and acknowledge where everything came from.
And I think it starts with cultivating an awareness of God's presence
okay.
in every aspect of our lives.
So being present.
Yes.
Being mindful.
Being mindful, not just going through the motions.
Yeah.
Seeing the divine spark in the everyday moments.
Yeah.
You know, recognizing that our work, our relationships, even our leisure activities, they all have value and purpose when viewed through the lens of our relationship with God.
So finding that balance between enjoying the gifts and honoring the giver.
And remembering that we're not just living for ourselves, we're
yeah.
living for an audience of one.
Oh, that's a good one.
It takes the pressure off trying to please everyone else.
Oh, yeah.
And puts the focus on seeking his approval, which is ultimately what matters most.
Aligning our priorities with what really matters.
Yes. And when we live that way with an awareness of God's presence and a desire to honor him in everything we do.
Yeah.
I think that's when we truly begin to experience the fullness of life that Ecclesiastes talks about.
We're tapping into a deeper well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Fearing God in the way that Ecclesiastes describes doesn't limit our joy.
Yeah.
It amplifies it.
So instead of fear of God being restrictive, it's actually like the pathway to a richer life.
Precisely. It's about living with intention, purpose,
yeah,
and a profound awareness of the one to whom we are ultimately accountable.
It's incredible how much we've unpacked just from this one idea of fear of God in Ecclesiastes.
Right.
You start out thinking it's a simple concept.
Right.
But it just unfolds into so many different layers.
It's like peeling back the layers of an onion.
Yeah.
Each layer reveals a new dimension to it.
And it's so fascinating to me how it connects with all these other things we've talked about, like time.
Yeah.
And wisdom and judgment and enjoyment.
Right. It's all woven together.
Yeah. It really is. Speaking of how things are woven together.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the placement of this fear God message within the book.
Yeah.
You know, we said earlier, it's not just like an epilogue they tacked on later.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of woven throughout.
Yeah. And Dr. Furr really emphasizes that point.
Okay.
He argues that the placement is incredibly significant.
Yeah.
You know, the most explicit statement comes at the very end.
Right.
But it's not like it's dropped in out of nowhere.
Yeah.
We've already encountered this theme in different forms.
It's like a melody that keeps reappearing.
Exactly. Yeah. Throughout the whole song.
And each time it comes back, it might be slightly different.
Yeah.
You know, maybe played with a different instrument.
Yeah.
Or at a different tempo.
Yeah.
But it's still recognizable as that core theme.
Yeah. So it's not just a conclusion. It's
right.
Like the foundation.
It's a foundational idea that reverberates throughout the whole book.
And without understanding that idea, you might miss some of the other stuff.
Absolutely. It's the key that unlocks the true meaning and wisdom of this ancient text.
So now the question is, how does this fear of God message from, you know, thousands of years ago apply to our lives today?
What does it mean for you? Practically speaking.
Yeah. How do we bridge that gap?
Well, I think it comes down to this.
Okay.
Ecclesiastes, through this concept of fear of God,
yeah,
is calling us to live with intentionality.
Okay.
With purpose, knowing that our choices have eternal weight.
So remembering that we're not just living for ourselves.
Right.
But for an audience of one. That's it. And that awareness should shape how we live our lives, our priorities, how we spend our time.
So bringing that into every area of our lives.
Everything. Our work, our relationships, leisure pursuit of knowledge, everything.
Right. And that doesn't mean being afraid all the time.
Right.
It just means living with reverence and gratitude.
And responsibility.
Right.
It's about finding that sweet spot between enjoying the gifts and honoring the giver.
Yeah. And when we find that balance.
Yeah.
That's when we really start living the way Ecclesiastes wants us to live.
A life filled with purpose and meaning and deep abiding joy.
That's something worth striving for.
Definitely.
So as we finish up this deep dive into Ecclesiastes and the fear of God.
Yeah.
I want to leave you with this question.
Okay.
How are you going to bring this new awareness into your own life?
Yeah.
How will your choices be different?
Right.
Knowing that you're living for an audience of one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question worth thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to keep exploring this ancient wisdom and see how it applies to your life today.